listening to the Online Supercoach Podcast, the place where business owners create breakthroughs. Here's your host, AJ Mirza.
Welcome. I have a legend on the line. Kev Hick talks guys with girls, and he is a superhuman content creator. Now, I have to say that even though I'm not in his target market, I'm obsessed with his videos. Even my girlfriend is obsessed with his videos.
Oh, wow.
And, we watch it together. And she's always nodding her head like, is AC? And then she realizes when she was younger, she made some of the dumb mistakes you talk about. And now she's an old woman in a relationship, of course. She's like, man, she has younger sisters. And she's like, you know, these girls need to see this. And if I ever have daughters, they need to watch your channel. And just to give people a great overview, you help women with dating advice. And you've had a phenomenal month with your business. In fact, you literally 10x your business in the last 30 days. You made more, I would say, in the past month than the whole year. The whole year of 2020. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Last year I made $11,000, $75 at a time. Yes. And right before I met you, about maybe a month before I met you, I went from $75 to $110 a call. And I was going to plan to just, you know, raise my prices incrementally and, you know, see what happens. But I realized that I can't keep trading the time for money, or I can't keep trying to figure out how my next hour is going to go or where I'm going to get my next call. I wanted to do a little bit less for, you know, a little bit more and get more control of my schedule. I have two young kids. And so I was desperate. I interviewed maybe five or six business coaches. I know I'm still trying to figure out, you know, my next step. So I'll be in contact with you guys. I'm going to be utilizing the services even more. But this year I went from, like I said, last year I made $1,100, $75 at a time. And this year, in this first month, and a lot of things came together at the same time. But definitely, you know, just being a part of your team and being in contact with your team was extremely instrumental in that too. I think it's just my time though, so nothing can stop me at the moment. But I did $12,000 in coaching sales this month.
Wow!
And you know, so that I eclipsed my last year in 1 month. Now I sell a $2,000 3-month program, and I also sell a $1,200 3-month program. So I think I sold five $2,000 programs, and I sold two $1,200 programs. So I actually made $12,400. But I couldn't have imagined that this time last year. I was again trying to make a $75 profit, you know, every so often, and it was just like I had a month before I met you that I just didn't know where my next call was coming from. And that's okay because I still do well on YouTube. I am a successful YouTuber and I do have a government job. Like I have a good job, you know, so I'm trying to get away from the job, but I realize that I can't keep doing these dips where like, I don't know if I'm going to have a lot of coaching calls or not. And then I'm missing $1,000 that kind of works itself into your budget, you know, or at least into your expectation. Right. And so when I don't see my bank account growing, I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, change some things up. So I interviewed a lot of business coaches, and I heard about you from Tay Sweat. And so
that is Tay Sweat. He's doing great things.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably get with him one day when I got some money to really throw at something, because he's got some stuff he wants to do with the stock market that I've always wanted to do. So, but he went on live and he was just like telling his story, and you were the first coach he went to, and he said he got a loan for $10,000, and he did some stuff with the money, and then he paid you your fee at the time, which might have been like five or something for whatever you provided for him at the time, and he said you got him up to the 12 to you know, the 10 to 12 every month. And so, you know, that was the first noticeable benchmark he hit, like, oh my God, I can really do this. And it gave him confidence, and he was making more money than the trainers that he knew. And it's just been uphill from there. So I just feel like, you know, if I'm looking at a person who I could admire for their hustle, for their awareness of how to get to prosperity, and they mentioned a person like you, he didn't even say your name at first. And he might have, I don't know what it said. Yo, what was that guy's name? He's like, AJ Mirzad. So I'm writing it down. He just called you AJ at first. I'm like, that can't be the name. I'm like, what is the name? You know, so
yeah.
But yeah, I respect it.
And yeah, if you guys ever want to listen, we have Tay's case study interview, and you just look back on it and kind of give a back overview. He was a vegan trainer. That was his niche, helping people with vegan businesses. And he did scale up very, very quickly to about $12,000-$15,000 a month. And then he took it to the next level where he transitioned from online coaching to stock coaching, helping people with their stock businesses. And he grew that to $1 million business. In fact, recently he bought himself a brand new McLaren, I love seeing success like that, especially when I knew how we first started out and transitioned and how we grew. And it's very inspirational to see that. But all the fundamental things that you're doing, Kev, is what he's done. So you're on that same path. So it's really good to see that you literally had the same, like, you know, income month that he did. So it's like you're pretty much doing all the fundamental things.
Yeah. I think, you know, this year I have to figure out, like I said, I'm still trying to go back to the drawing board on a few things, because I don't know if I want to sell that same package again. I've sold out of that package, and I'm like, okay, I need to stop taking calls. As soon as I implemented some of your strategy, it was a hodgepodge of some things I already had in the works, and then your strategy was really effective. And so I was like, okay, just the calls to action and the strategic content. Hell, I made $2,000. Not even considering at this point, not even considering the 12,000, I made 14,000 my first month, because the vulnerable video that I did became my most popular or most quickly growing video. So in general, it takes, man, like 5-6 months, a year to get to the 2,000 mark, 200,000 mark on a video. Within a week and a half, I had hit 190,000 views. And by the end of 2 weeks, I was above 200,000. And so in YouTube dollars, you pretty much get $1,000 per 100,000 views. So I looked down in my, and I've already made like $2,500 off of that video too. So I didn't even count that video. So I made about 14,000 when it was all said and done, just off of kind of, you know, blending my things and working with you and in my program. So yeah, it was a big deal.
That's very inspirational. Yes. You know, you run a video, and obviously you have a big audience, close to 300,000 subscribers. So, you know, you use that same formula with a nice audience, and you make money off the video. And that's powerful to hear that, you know, 14K. But I think one of the secrets to your success was you changed your model completely, because you went from doing hour long consulting, 30 minute consulting calls, to developing a package. And obviously that's one of the big things that I teach. Is instead of doing hour by hour, session by session, focus on a specific type of package, a higher ticket package, work with less people, but focus on a bigger transformation. And that was you executed on that perfectly.
So right now, my plan for if I continue the package I'm doing, because it's a 3 month package, I'll open my cart back up every 3 months.
Okay.
And so I wanted to do something where I could replicate this, but not overwhelm myself. If I can make 10 to 12 a month, replicate that and continue month in, month out making that, but I have to change my product so that it doesn't overwhelm me. So right now I can still open the card up every 3 months and make, that would still be, I have four times what I make every year. So there'd be still four years worth of profit if I just open my card up every 3 months and replicate this. I had like 60 or 70 calls booked almost immediately. I've had to cancel so many calls, and we created a filtration system. The qualifying questionnaire, I follow what I noticed from you and other people that were business coaching, even trying to get on my calls to hire people. It was like a qualifying questionnaire. So I don't even know if me and you had talked about that, but I was like, well, AJ's doing it. It's working for AJ. I'm going to do it. So I did the qualifying questionnaire, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how enthusiastic are you about, you know, business dating and relationship coaching, life coaching? On a scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you to invest in yourself? And, you know, all of these questions were about 5. And then we had to change the questionnaire because we were taking more calls from people who were not quite ready to invest in themselves. So that was an adjustment we made mid-month that proved to be very financially beneficial too, because, you know, once we threw, you know, some figures in there on from 100 to 500, are you ready? You know, like trying to, we gave this question that would allude to a person's budget, but not tell them how much the coaching was. I can't remember the exact verbiage, but it got very effective because then I could get on a call and I already see a person's budget because they've selected B or they selected A. So at that moment I can say, oh, well, they can't do the 2000, but I could do this and make these movements or make this change in the program for less money. And I can offer them this since it's in their budget because they answered C or they answered D. And it was, I didn't have to actually do that because I created the first two packages and I just focused on selling those. But I was thinking that like, I have the power to adjust my package and my product at any time. And I'm just making a lot of realizations as I go through this process of, you know, first of all, crashing, burning for as many years as I've crashed and burned to now having some success, but now trying to make my success more efficient, make my qualifying process more efficient, make my call sales conversion percentage more efficient, right? I think in my first 30 calls, I sold my first five packages, right? And I'm not in general, that's you talking about 2000, that's not terrible. I don't know what it is in the industry, but for me, hell, I've been on more calls than that. And yeah, as a telemarketer for Dish Network and so less calls. So it was cool for me because it's all profit, but
stop you for a second because you're sharing so many gems that it's like I just want to, you know, discuss them. First and foremost, mentioned your amazing filtering process and a simple thing you could do on a questionnaire or even an email DMing back and forth. It's that simple question on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you in coaching, right? Whatever coaching you provide. So that'll tell you, obviously you only talk to the tens because if someone's giving you a five, they're probably not going to buy, you know?
Yep.
Number two, I was going to bring up the qualifying question because you do not want to get on a sales call and get to the end of it and all of a sudden the person can't afford your services. So here's a great question to ask. You get access in the beginning of the call or even the first message, the first text, right before you say, let's cop on a call. So I would love to work with you. You said you want a 10 out of 10. However, in order to have the best results, you have to be able to invest. Okay. Now I like to ask it indirectly. Let's say if I'm selling weight loss coaching, I say, in order for you to have a body transformation, you're going to need money for supplements, proper nutrition, perhaps exercise equipment. Maybe you have to join a gym, but you have to be in a place where you can make a large investment towards your health. Are you able to do that? So the answer to that question will tell you exactly where their financial situation is. Anyone who says, of course, my health is a priority. I'll do whatever it takes. That's what you want to hear. If they say, you know what, right now, I'll be quite honest with you. I've not worked in the past 2 years. I'm living in a trailer and I'm eating cat food, you know? So like, okay, then I kind of know where this is going to go. And again, if it's business coaching, I'll say, hey, we got to run Facebook ads. We got to build a website, maybe get ClickFunnels. There's going to be a big investment towards growing your business. Can you make a large investment? So I don't say that my coaching is a big investment, but indirectly, their cost is startup cost. So, you know, like obviously in dating, you could mention all the stuff of makeup, you know, butt implants.
I mean, they spend the money on it. You're right. There's some money being spent on it. I think that's what I did. The first 23 calls, which didn't matter a lot to me because I realized, okay, I'm going to suck at a new thing. I believe in failing forward and you have to suck at something. Yeah, you have to suck at something. And I feel like, okay, the first 20 to 50 things I'm going to do, the first 20 to 50 times I'm going to do it, I'm going to suck. So I need to get these calls out the way regardless. But once I got to like the 23rd call and I got the 17th, I don't have any money. I'm like, oh, you know what? The hell with this. We're going to change this questionnaire and get these people qualified before I jump on the phone. And I've taken significantly less calls then. And I'll send an email back for people who aren't quite ready yet, you know, redirecting them. But the calls I've taken since then have been a lot more beneficial because even people who aren't in a position right now because of time have the finances and, you know, are looking to make room in their schedules for the coaching. And so it does help out to be more efficient.
Now, Kev, you mentioned a great thing. You said, you sucked at first and I want to hear about your YouTube journey because you obviously went from sucking to being very, very successful, right? You currently have 281,000 subscribers. Obviously, you have a good Instagram as well. Very loyal following. You have, you know, millions of views on some of your videos. And I would love to hear your progress there, because a lot of us want to grow our audience. So let's hear how you first started with your videos, and then where, what was the point that made you really take off?
Okay. So I think, again, I believe in failing forward. I'd watched enough motivational videos, and I think one featuring Will Smith specifically was talking about failing forward. And I just remember thinking, I guess that's awesome. That's what I should do. You're going to fail anyway, right? Why don't you seek that failure? And it reminded me of when I was 17, looking up pickup artistry, as we were speaking about before we started.
Yeah.
And I remember when I used to go to the mall, and I had to get turned down by four women, or I wouldn't let myself leave the mall, because I didn't want a fear of speaking to women, right? I wanted to be the man, you know, for my own ego, because I'm a leader in most situations. And so I didn't want to feel afraid or be tasked with, hey, talk to that girl over there, because my friends usually look up to me and I'm afraid to talk to girls. So I would make myself get turned. Like, I would just say, okay, let me get these first four no's. But that was just to, you know, get used to talking to women.
As warmed
I was
up.
Yeah, to get warmed up. And again, I wasn't a scoundrel. I didn't misuse any of those women, but that was my process. Like, okay, I'm going to get some no's. Let's just get these out the way. And most of the time I get yeses, but I would set my mind to fail and be okay with that and make peace with that. So when I heard that failing forward, it just reminded me of some of the success I had earlier, you know, in talking to women and being able and capable of accepting failure, as frivolous as a thing like that is. It made me feel good to accept that that was the worst case scenario, and nothing bad could really come of it. It could only grow me. And so I started my YouTube channel because I rant in the car. I'm passionate about a lot of different things. And my wife is, sometimes she's cool and sometimes she's like, whatever. She doesn't always listen to me because I'm always ranting about something. And she was like, you know what? Somebody does need to hear this. I don't need to hear this because I have you and you have me. But there are women who need to hear this. You should probably make a YouTube channel. I'm like, okay. And it was one of those moments where I had already been watching motivational videos. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And so I jumped on and I did it. And I just promised myself that I would not quit. I would do, first I said I would do 20 videos. And then by video 13, I said, I'm going to do 100 videos. And whatever happens, I'm just not going to quit.
Sorry. First of all, Tyler Kelly is on the line. He says, this is gold. Shout out to Tyler. He's, you know, he says he's got to be here to listen to this interview. Cause you know, obviously, you're sharing a lot of golden stuff. And, you know, I agree with Failing Forward, because that's one of my favorite books, John Maxwell, Failing Forward. Absolutely. I reread it numerous times for that same principle.
I haven't even read the book. I need to read it.
Read it. Yeah, everyone should read it. It's a book that changed my life, but it's about forcing yourself to fail. And I did the same thing. And I would go to a mall and I would just talk to 10 women. And again, you know, the first three, even if I was not attracted to them, I would talk to women just to warm up. You know, and I just would add positive stuff to their day, you know, conversations, not trying to sleep with them. And that would get me into the mode of not being okay with rejection. And then if I said, hey, is it cool if I get your phone number? No. Okay, cool. Next, you go on, but you don't create a story like, oh man, I'm ugly, or I have no game. I'm going to go home and cry about it. And the other thing is, when you committed to those 20 videos, did you focus on the production quality? Because one thing I'll give to you, and I highly recommend subscribing to Kev's YouTube channel, his videos are so good. One, he's very articulate. He speaks very well. He knows exactly who he's speaking to. And then he has little captions on the side that are kind of like what everyone is thinking. And they're hilarious because I just laugh at some of the captions, because he, let's say, talks about, you know, something a guy would text, and then he has an eggplant emoji on the side. You know, it's very clever. So I would love to hear your initial video production process.
My first video, initially when I started, I was recording on an iPhone 6S Plus. Wow. So there was almost no value. I always liked the commercials that look super clean, the white backgrounds, but I couldn't produce it on my iPhone. So if you sometimes people say that they hurt their eyes because my old iPhone wouldn't hold the white for very long. There would be all these different shades of off-white and pinkish, because an iPhone 6S Plus doesn't have the capability to do a washed out background. Watched a bunch of YouTube videos and did my best, right? But I knew that what was coming out of my mouth and my comfortability with just who I was would be the most important portion of of you know, what I was producing. People do not believe in people who don't appear to believe in themselves, period. Right. And so I knew that I could suck at video production. My audio could be garbage. But if I represented myself well, someone would listen to me long enough to be like, you know what? This video looks terrible. I'm gonna put my headphones on, close my eyes, and hear this game. Right. And that's what I wanted. I just wanted people to be able to listen to me and hear my voice. And it, for, from that moment, when people started listening to me, I got my first comment and it was like, you are a breath of fresh air. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm on to something, right? And I just started trying to make sure that I represented myself well, but I also didn't apply any fear to it. My biggest challenge when I first started was not being afraid to be every part of what I am, right? Sometimes I'm silly, sometimes I'm goofy, sometimes I'm really serious, sometimes I'm like, I'm really laid back. I have a lot of different energies that I can bring. I'm very versatile and liquid and fluid in the way I might present myself at any given time. And I didn't want to be afraid to embarrass myself. So the biggest challenge for me was to do 20 videos, not afraid to embarrass yourself. Haters will come, trolls will come, people will dislike these videos. You will fail at making a point. You will fail at making an impression, but just do the 20 videos, do not quit. And by video 20, I was like, okay, I got to do 100 videos, just don't quit. I didn't get my first, I don't think I got my first paycheck from YouTube for about, I think until like month 7.
Damn.
I told myself, I said, you're going to do this for free and you won't quit. Right. Because I knew how much some YouTubers were making. And I'm like, I know they had to do free videos. Everybody has to start somewhere. 6 months is coming from regardless. 6 months is coming. It's not unless the world stops spinning. We're going to get to 6 months. Right. So I can be in the same position, having helped no one, having made no impact, and having provided nothing else for my family. Or in 6 months time, I could have grown and been 6 months better at something that I sucked at before. And so I told everybody who I talked to, who were trying to encourage me, oh, don't worry, I'm not quitting. So I won't quit. And that was just it. And it worked out. People really took to me, and I started getting more, obviously, emails and interactions with women who were having these conversations with me. And a part of just growing social media, you know, you have to interact with people, make them feel touched, makes them, them feel valued.
Fly back to the comments.
How to Win Friends and Influence People, my favorite book. It's all about people's natural, inherent, universal need to feel important. And when you touch people back, they feel important. And so my videos were about bringing that touch back to people, showing them that love, talking about their specific situations, answering emails and videos. It made people feel loved, but it also provided me that comfort and that personability. And it also built that loyalty in my audience. And for any business, that's just golden. And I didn't realize I was
not an overnight success. You've been doing this for 4 years, grinding for 4 years. That's a lot of time, man. A lot of people give up after 6 months of, like, you know, no traction, nothing. And if you're doing this, how many videos have you made so far?
I know over 200. I might be at like 220, 230.
Wow.
I only produce videos once a week for my first maybe year or so, really, really intermittently throughout the whole time. But this year, I've produced a lot of videos. I've been doing 2 or 3 videos a week.
And one thing I want to talk about, because Tyler says, you know, people don't believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. So, like, how could we improve our certainty? Right. So obviously, we're talking about something on camera. It's one thing I noticed about you is you have you're very close to the screen. It's like you're showing your face, you know, it's like a selfie style, but you're in people's faces, but from your body language, from your energy, what are you doing to make people connect with you?
I think I've always been saying that I'm going to use a different camera angle. I'm going to go back to the 50 millimeter, but I just don't, because I got kids. I got shit to do. So I don't even have time to alter my production for real. I guess I could prioritize it. But I can tell you, I talk with my hands. So even though you're only seeing my head most of the time, you feel you feel the energy, because I'm a very active speaker. And you can kind of tell that I'm really energetic when I'm talking, even though you don't see all of that. I do talk with my hands, and I am kind of animated naturally. But for me, it's just about trying to be genuine and trying to make that eye contact with the camera. Like, talking to a camera is the most awkward thing that a person can do, as you know. And lecturing through a camera is a whole different story, right? Like you're talking about just saying neutral things that might not piss anybody off. And sometimes I'm lecturing, sometimes I'm telling jokes, but
you're funny. You're like, that's one thing. You add a lot of humor and it's like low key jokes because you'll say something that's hilarious with a serious face and I'm laughing, but you keep going.
Yeah. That dry humor really, that's my thing. But I feel like, for me, I try to just either provide that comic relief or the energetic relief. So whatever you're doing, there has to be some mood management involved. Sometimes people need to be motivated. Sometimes they need to be inspired, but sometimes they need to be corrected. But if you correct them four times in a row, they're not going to stand for a fifth correction. So you got to give them something that breaks that vibe or that tension that you built in the correction. And so for me, I'm trying to manage moods. So even if I'm not being funny, I've given you inspiration next to correction, right? I've given you, so you can get disciplined, but you can also, have a smile on your face after watching some of my videos. But a lot of times, she's serious out here. So I'm trying to be serious and respect the sanctity of some of the information,
You'll say something like, hey, if you do this as a woman, you don't have respect for yourself, but I understand it's not your fault. Maybe a guy did this to you and it hurt, you say something, you reprimand them like doing this is wrong, but also you were taught wrong. Now here's a correct way to do it. You do it in, I would say like, it's like a alpha, but loving way. And I find when you speak in an alpha and loving way, not only in a video, on a sales call, in front of people, they respect you more, but also they see you as the expert.
Yeah, absolutely. You speak with confidence and authority. And, to be quite honest, with my background, I know what I'm talking about. So that confidence is natural. But just speaking to a camera, every one of us has to learn how to relate to a lens, right? And that's very difficult to do sometimes. But with my background, I'm very comfortable just being very honest with people and giving them that tough love. But also with the humor involved, I've always been that. I'll give somebody the correction and I'll give them something to smile about afterward. And I think that they always say you catch more bees with honey. I'm not sure if I'm trying to catch bees or just train them. But yeah. I definitely don't want to use sometimes people focus so much on being charismatic and the honey of it that they don't give you the depth and the quality and the honesty, quite frankly. True. Sometimes the shit we need is bitter. And sometimes, like you said, to your point, when someone needs your service, I always think about the cost versus the price, right? And this is something I've been talking about a lot lately. The price might, be inconvenient, but the cost of not getting that service, the cost of not getting this help or making this change is a lifetime. It's another, you really want to go another 25 years doing the same stuff you've been doing, not making any money, being broke, whatever it is. And in my adulthood, I've come into a place where I realize that the cost is what I'm avoiding more than the price 9 times out of 10 at this point in my life.
Yes, please, please, please. If you want to increase your sales, make a video or a piece of content discussing the cost versus the price, because that is the conversation people have in their minds. Mm-hmm. Like you can literally even make a small post about it. You could tell a story. In my example, I was stuck with this. This is how much this problem is costing me. And, because the conversation you want to get in people's minds is that the price of staying where you are is far more expensive than the small investment you're going to make with me. And that's with weight loss, with relationships, with business, with depression. And, obviously, Kev has a great way of making the investment of working with him seem like a no-brainer because of the hell that people are in. These women, they are suffering every single day. So now he's got a way to take them to the promised land. And that investment that they make is minimal compared to spending another month being depressed and lonely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Continue, I guess.
That's one thing I wanted to talk about, the sales process, because obviously, we have one hat when we're doing videos and we're marketing ourselves, but another hat when you're selling, especially a high ticket program like you sell. So I want to hear about that transition of getting that person on the phone and how do you get them to say, okay, Kev, here's my credit card. Let's do this.
Okay. I think I'm first of all relatable. I listen. I take notes on every call. I always take notes. And
yes. Take notes, please. Please. One thing.
Do your thing, bro.
Is like when, you know, especially, you know, sometimes if you do a Zoom call with someone, like what I do is I have, I have it down there on the floor, but it's a plaque and a piece of paper. And as they're, I'm speaking to them, I'm writing. But even obviously if I'm on the phone audio, I'm writing. And what you write on those notes is gold, especially if you use the same words that they tell you.
And I did that to your point. I was watching one of your videos in the 10X on the 10X site. And you were talking about repeat their verbiage, use their verbiage back to them. And so that they understand that they immediately connect with it because it's how they would have said it. Right. And that was the thing that I wasn't doing. Right. I like to tailor my message, you know, for the audience, or they say bait the hook for the fish in How to Win Friends and Influence People. And, but in the sales process, at first I was so nervous because I was selling that I wasn't doing the things that I would normally naturally do on a call. Right. So I had to make my sales process much more like my calls in that, you know, I just relate to them for the first maybe 3 minutes, you know, first 4 minutes. I'm going to lose that first 4 or 5 minutes just relating to them, warming them up, you know, and once they realize, okay, I'm talking to Kevin, the same genuine person, the same loving person, the same guy who means what he says, who cares. This is the guy that's on the phone. This is neat. Right now we can get into the business, you know, it sounds like from what I'm hearing from you, and then I repeat what they say, you know, and that's what I'm going through, you know, I've already warmed them up a little bit, even in the content that caused them to get to me. One of the interesting things I did, I'm gonna get back to my sales point. So anyway, to your point, I do that. I relate to them, but for me, the sales portion is not trying to sell them.
Okay.
So one of the easiest ways to build trust, whether you're reading How to Win Friends and Influence People or the 48 Laws of Power, is I don't even know how they refer to it, but you offer
they're qualifying themselves to you. They're selling themselves to you essentially.
Yeah, but don't appear as though you're doing that. Like make whatever your goal is a little bit ambiguous at first and let them just kind of reveal themselves to you. And then, like I said, when they tell me what's wrong with them, I say, well, I've definitely helped somebody like that. I've coached over 4,000 people, which is absolutely true. And, you know, I could help you with that. And this is what I normally encounter. Right. So I give them some gems. I give them something that if they don't even spend a dollar with me, they walk away with an idea that, wow, that was deep. I could actually use that, you know, something applicable. But I give that's 40 or 50 seconds of me just saying, hey, this is what I've encountered and this is what has helped that. But I haven't given them, you know, the process. They're like, okay, well, I need more of that. Okay. So let's start this up. If that's what you're going to give me, then I want more of this. I need more advice just like that. That's what I've been looking for. So how much is
transition?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's how I normally do it. I mentioned one of the scenarios I've coached a person through, or, you know, the things I normally encounter and what a solution could be for them or the possible solution. And then they're trying to figure out how to obviously apply that to them specifically. So that's what's been helping me a little bit in my transition. Hell, I would have sold probably 70% of the calls I was on that first 23, but most of them didn't have the money, but the selling portion was easier to me than I thought it was going to be because everybody wanted it. I probably already have filled up my next 3 months with people saving their money right now to jump on the next 3 months.
Wow. Wow. So the biggest question any salesperson, even like I've been selling for 15 years, but admittingly, right before you named a price, do you have any strategies to make that nice and smooth?
I think it depends on the person. So I'm not necessarily a person who studies personality types, but one of my products is actually a quiz to determine your dating personality type, right? And the number one type of personality type I get from women who need my coaching is type A personalities, right? Or the traditional type A personality. Well, the type A personality doesn't like to bullshit with you and they don't want you to talk around what they're asking you. They want it right up front, right? The way to turn a type, if you're selling, sell to the personality type, right? And some people need the analytics. Some people need the figures, the facts. An owl or a wolf. A wolf would be a personality type, or a type A personality. That's my whole animal thing. Disregard. Type A personalities want the information right now, but the analytical personality needs to know every bit of information. She wants to know everything she gets. So you can take your time with the analytical personality, telling them all the information and the figures and the all of that stuff. But a type A is like, okay, you tell me how much it is, and then we'll talk about, you know, what. And that's just kind of how demanding they are. I give them what they want so they don't feel like I'm trying to skirt them out of an experience or out of understanding what I'm doing. Because the worst thing that I've found that you could do, especially as a dating coach or a life coach who's supposed to be entrusted with someone's life secrets, is appear that you're hiding information from them, right? So if I was just selling products, I could tactically do a lot of different stuff. But because I'm supposed to be entrusted with their life secrets, I'm a secret keeper. I need to be the most transparent person that they would require me to be, just so that I can develop that trust, because I'm getting classified information on the people that are signing up for my stuff. So type A personalities, they say, hey, listen, okay, that's all great, cool. I want to work with you. I watch your videos for a year. How much? Then I have to tell them, I have to break the rule. Well, it's $2,000 or it's $1,200. Which one you want to hear? Well, here, I want to hear both of them. I got that. We've already established that. I'm a doctor. And they're very proud, generally. The ones who can afford it are very proud that they've built themselves up. So it's never like I get on the phone and I don't know if they have money after about, you know, or if they have the money to invest after about 5 minutes. Most of them are like, listen, I'm a CEO. I've done this, this, and this, and this, and this, and I can't find a man, or I can't find a man who has a job. And so because I'm talking about their personal business, I get that information a little bit quicker than if I was selling like beds.
Yeah. Right?
Or somebody with another professional. If you're selling fitness, even sometimes you're not going to get the information that I would get, because their personal information is most relevant to my service of being a life coach or a love coach. So in one case, a woman told me, you know, she was just going on and on. So I actually has pre-sold her a $7,000 package. I made it for her on the spot because she gave me enough information that I could say, well, Not only do you need this, she had over 100 pounds to lose, and she had a lot of stuff going on.
You get like a custom coaching program
for her. I built a custom coaching program for her because of the information she gave me back.
Wow. Right?
And so she's like, well, I have to tie this loose end up. I got this project with my company, but as soon as that's done, I want to sign up for the $7,000 yearly package, right? So like I had to create one for her on the spot. But to your question, my closing strategy depends on the type of personality I'm dealing with. The analytical person needs all the information. You need to qualify the product and say the price last, and then they'll do in their minds about all the information.
Yeah, the pros and cons.
Yeah, type A personalities don't want to be bullshitted, and so they traditionally just say, "Listen, you have been wonderful. I love this conversation. It's been amazing. How much is it?"
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Can we just bullshit? Stop the bullshit. How much is it? Because I want to give you the money. Would you give me? Tell me. You know what I'm saying? And so
yes. We
go from there. So it just depends on the personality type. I try to one of my gifts, and I think that anybody can develop it if they're awareness, but one of my gifts is being able to figure out exactly what's not being said and what the needs of the person are. I'm very empathetic and very like in tune with people's needs and awarenesses. And so I can actually figure out what's either not being said or what's needed from our call, just based on the tones and things of how people are speaking to me, because I'm paying attention. Right. And I've had a lot of these conversations, but yes. You bait the hook for the fish. That has been what I've done. And that has worked for the most part. When I've gotten on the phone with people who could pay, who had the money to invest, I've closed the calls at a very high rate.
I love that. Love that. By the way, we have a ton of questions that are coming in for you, and I'm gonna go through, some of them. One thing that Tyler mentioned, and I want to second this as well, is that quizzes are powerful, and you see them everywhere. You can pretty much create a simple quiz for your business on the online software. Mm-hmm. And Tyler has one. What is your body type? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I developed one. Do you want to be an online coach? Take this quiz to see if you qualify. So literally anything that you teach, right? Let's say Shelby has a niche for people that play video games and want to get fit. That's a great quiz. That's a great quiz. Or what's a video game, fitness type, whatever the case is, but you could literally compile the 10, 15 questions. My quizzes are like 3 minutes to do. And then you have that as a lead generator, as a way of collecting data. And then obviously on the sales calls, like Kev says, you pretty much figure out how they responded to the quiz.
Also, one of the biggest things that I think that has been converting sales for me is because I'm looking at that questionnaire, like I have it pulled up or something. And my wife, she's so wonderful. She actually writes the notes down. So she writes the answers down, or she compiles the data from the questionnaires that they take. And so I'm looking at their answers and I'm looking at their question that they ask me. I let them ask me like a very simple question, a 2-sentence or a 3-sentence question. And I'm looking at what their answers are. And then we're discussing, okay, so I see here that, you know, in your questionnaire, you know, you're saying that, you know, this is something that you're interested in, or you know, this is the reason why. And they're very short, but we basically address the questionnaire because now I'm reintroducing you to the information you've given me. So it even feels more familiar because you've already visited those thoughts while filling out that questionnaire. And so I think it creates a more of a sense of familiarity just because I'm addressing what you said in your questionnaire. You know, I leave like a space for them to say like something, and then I address that. And so it builds that trust from a very early space in the call.
How to win friends and influence people. Like one of the key components, everyone wants to be understood. Like if you could understand someone and obviously talk about them, you know, what's in it for me? That's pretty much a question everyone has. So that's key right there.
Even if they just say, if I say, how enthused are you to start coaching? And they're like, I'm number 5, 5 out of 5, right? I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking at your questionnaire. It looks like you are very enthused about starting this coaching. Let me ask you, why are you so gung-ho about it? Like, what's going on with you that you need this right now? Like, what's happening? Let me tell you, I've had enough of this and that. Or it's like, somebody, I don't talk to ones and twos anymore. But at first, when I was talking to ones and twos, because I hadn't started keeping the questionnaires in front of me, I was like, when I first started talking to them and I realized I could use the questionnaire, I said, well, it looks like you're a one on here. You don't appear to be very enthused. Can you tell me why we're on this call? Like, what caused you to start this call? I'm not seeing a lot of enthusiasm. And I'll make a joke about the lack of enthusiasm in their responses. But I'm realizing sometimes that's a personality. Some people are just very low. They're low invested. Everything they do is like, I don't know, I guess, whatever. But they have things they're passionate about. They just don't present them. They don't know how to present them. They don't feel comfortable being excited in public. And so I've sold a $2,000 package to the most low enthusiasm person ever. In fact, one of her issues is she wants to be more enthused, more motivated, more inspired, more energetic, more happy, and more optimistic. But she was 2-2. She was 2 out of 5 on 2 of the most important questions. And my wife's like, do I cancel this call? Look at this call. I'm like, because we'll send them an email back like, hey, listen, right now, not the time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I think from a question that she answered under that, I said, I think she's just one of those people who doesn't really like to share or doesn't really know how to project what she wants. Right. And so, and it turned out to be just that. She's like, listen, I have a motivation problem. I just need something to look forward to. I need to be more motivated. And I think you helping me in my relationship, because I'm a relationship coach as well. I don't just do dating coaching. You helping me in my marriage. And I know you're in the fitness. You've mentioned that before. If you could just, you know, kind of motivate me to get in shape and be encouraging to me, and also help me in my relationship so I can provide more passion to my relationship and just have more enthusiasm overall, I want that. But her questionnaire was like all low energy. And so that's why the fill-ins are really important sometimes.
Another great example I'll talk about is because I've been doing this for, you know, 15 years. So a lot of times I get application. I have zero money. I'm struggling financially. And then, you know, are you in a place to invest on your coaching? No. And, you know, Tyler and I will tell you this from experience, that even if they say no financially, you'll be surprised when you get them on the call, you know, because again, some people find a way, just like with anything in life. If they want something bad enough, they'll find a way. So don't get too disappointed if, you know, someone's not lacking enthusiasm or financially, they're not sharing that. But let me just share questions, because we got so much great ones. Okay. But I'm going to give you rapid fire questions. Just answer them off the top of the head. What would you tell yourself, you know, Kev, 4 years ago when you were younger, more inexperienced, when it comes to starting your online business, let's say you were overthinking or you weren't taking enough action, you know, going back in time, starting your business, what would you do differently?
Oh, just start. Just start. I didn't start for the first year. I refused because I was afraid of it. I was afraid of sales. I was afraid of somebody not liking what I told them. I was afraid of the whole process. Just start. Again, suck at something. Suck at something new. Just start. Do something. You can do it poorly. Make your adjustments in time. But start.
Yes. And the best data is the marketplace, you know, because once you publish the video, one's going to do great. One's going to do crappy. But fail forward. You could have 10 crappy videos. You keep on putting them out. I mean, I still put out videos. Some of them get crickets. You know, I'll put my heart into a video and it gets really low engagement. But I'm not going to say, oh, well, this sucks. It's not for me. You know,
that still happens to me.
What's up?
That still happens to me. Some of my most important, best videos have the lowest views. And you can't attach your value to it. They will find value. The market determines what's valuable.
Yes. And speaking of videos, do you edit your own videos? If so, what software do you use?
Oh, yeah. I edit my own videos, and I'm probably known among the better YouTubers for the shittiest editing, but they don't. It works. I use iMovie. I cut my videos with iMovie on my iPhone because I'm on the go. I work a full-time job. I have shit to do. I have two kids. One has autism, and the other one just needs a lot of attention. So I edit on iMovie, and then I have an app on my phone called Videorama.
Videorama.
Yes. So iMovie, and then I transfer it over to Videorama and add the captions or so sometimes explosions or sound effects or whatever I might add to them.
I'm just looking at YouTube channel. I'm looking at your day one videos compared to now. And I think you've mastered the thumbnail, and the thumbnail is very powerful, especially on IGTV and YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Great. Now, thank you for that. And also like, do you tier your dating packages? How do you determine your products and packaging them?
So I have a gold and I have a silver package, and I was thinking about doing a bronze package for lower budgets, but I don't feel like dealing with it because I actually had to turn down a client. I had to break up with a client who was about to buy, and I was like, this ain't gonna work. And you got to be willing to do that sometimes. Gold and the silver package. So my gold package has a certain level of things. And then my silver package has that dampened down, basically cut in half. So yeah, I did tier it, but instead of using elite, ultimate, you know, all of those big words.
Is there a platinum coming?
I would love the platinum. If I could get me a $5,000 platinum package, that would be wonderful. And I'm in the works of trying to figure out what I would like to do for $5,000. So I could only have two or three clients. If I could only deal with two or three people instead of dealing with six or seven, that would be wonderful. So I think from this point on, if I take any more clients, they're going to have to be platinums because otherwise I'm closing my cart.
Absolutely. And I would love to hear, like, for example, for your gold clients, like, what are some big things that you feel like are helping them the most? Like, what are some key things you do for them?
I think the thing that's getting the thing sold is what you told me to do, is unlimited voice notes, right? Now, for me, I've modified it. It's unlimited texting or voice notes, because some people naturally pick up the phone and start talking and leaving you voice notes. I have clients who've always done that, never even text messages, voice note. And then other people like to text message and don't really want a voice note. So I just say unlimited texting and or voice notes, however you would prefer to communicate. And just like you say, what I found that most people, the first 3 days, they're hot, they're enthusiastic, and then they kind of forget what the hell they're doing. And just don't hear from them as much until you have a conversation that is worthy to be had. And so that is actually, I think, been the biggest selling point, because you can tell somebody, you get unlimited access to me. I mean, you're back pocket at all times. And it's very true, but they will find themselves not using it through no fault of your own. But it sells the package, because if I was just saying, hey, a call every week for 3 months, they're like, okay, that's cool, but I don't know what we would talk about, because they don't understand how I coach. They don't understand my structures, right? And I don't have a bunch of time to tell them about my structures. I'm not standing on the phone telling you about all the different things I'm doing that organize the information in my head to give you. So I just say, hey, listen, and unlimited access to me during that. I'm like, wait a minute, unlimited works, you know? So I think that that's something that everybody should add to their program, is either the text messaging or the voice notes. I like the combination myself. But yeah, yes. So
this is Jen, by the way, yes, if I use Voxer or WhatsApp, and don't use the one for your friends and family, create a new Voxer or a new WhatsApp. It's free and unlimited voice notes. It's called unlimited coaching. Unlimited coaching is the name of it. Oh, how does this unlimited coaching work? Well, you could message me or send a voice note 24/7 as long as your heart desires. And when I offer this on my super ultra high ticket packages, I found that, just like Kev says, no one abuses it. You know, no one's not going to be messaging you, you know, every 3 minutes, because you could put yourself in a hole if you say you have, let's say, a weekly 1 hour call, you know, so obviously something that's very time consuming, then you're literally trading hours for dollars. But people will appreciate unlimited coaching much more than having a weekly call. Cause sometimes if you've done it before, you'll see, you'll be on the call and, hey, what's new? Oh man, I don't know. Then you talk about like nonsense, you know?
Yeah. So I start my first group of Thursday clients tonight after I get off the phone. I think my first call is at 6 here. I'm on Eastern Standard Time. I think you are on too. So my first call tonight is at 6. I have a few scheduled for Thursdays and a few scheduled for Tuesdays. And so, you know, right now I'm just kind of let my schedule settle, but I think I'm going to create a package just out of the unlimited coaching. Because again, very few people abuse it. And I've been doing this for, like I said, I've coached over 4,000 people. I've coached many hundreds, a few thousand, just about 2,000 or 3,000 of those have been on the phone. And I used to offer people to do the whole coaching thing through text messaging. And I can tell you, I've only had one client out of the hundreds that I've had do the text messaging thing that really got on my nerves with the frequency. But that's a rare personality type. That's kind of an obsessive personality type, and you don't run into them as much as you would think so.
What quiz software do you use?
So I have MellerLite. I don't think that's a quiz software. So I had
a beer. This is the,
oh yeah, yeah, right. I had a mailer.
Like, oh, okay. Mailer.
So I had somebody who was helping me before, who does like software management and kind of business coaching, but more product development. Erica. Erica is amazing at setting up my back channels, and she set up my mailer light, my email catches, and she had all of that stuff in place when I already got with you, but we were like stagnant. We didn't have anything going on. And when I got with you, it was like new fire under Erica's, you know, and she's like just all over top of stuff. And so she had created my quiz like a year and a half ago. And so I don't know what quiz software she used, but we run it through mailer light. MemberVault. So MemberVault, because I actually have a membership product too. It used to be $10 a month, but I'm gonna just sell it for $97 permanent access here pretty soon. We're finishing that package up as well, but I can't tell you the exact quiz software. I had to get back to you on that.
Great. No, thank you for that. And also, like I said, if you guys are watching the replay, you know, if you have any questions, you could post it under the replay in the comments of stuff that comes up, and that Kevin would be nice enough just to answer them for you. I just want to ask you a personal question,
because you
hinted at this when we had our first call, and I want to know, like, what's your big why? Like, why are you doing this? Why are you focused on creating this empire? What's the big reason behind it?
Well, I'm trying to build a legacy of wealth for my family, right? I'm trying to break generational curses. I'm trying to, you know, when I leave here, I don't want my family to struggle trying to figure out how to bury me. You know, like I've come from a very impoverished place. I'm from the projects, man. I've always looked at poverty and witnessed poverty and been surrounded by poverty. And when I, you know, became a man, I just decided I didn't want that to be my life. And I realized that as a man can only really daydream or fantasize to the extent of what he's imagined, or I'm sorry, to the extent of what he's witnessed. So you can imagine that thing which you've not witnessed. If you haven't seen real prosperity, then you can't imagine it. So my biggest goal as a father is to make sure that my sons can imagine prosperity because they've seen it and they've been engulfed in it and they've experienced it. I don't want them to have the limited dreams that I came into adulthood with. When I was 21, I was like, okay, I got a car. I have $2,000 rims on my car. I made it. No, you didn't, you know, but if you live in an impoverished place, a nice car or a sexy car is success. It's not, right? You get around an affluent neighborhood and you realize everybody got nice cars and they're new and they don't rust, and they have good engines, and they're not stuck on the side of the road. It's not about the rims. It's about the name on the car. And, you know, while that doesn't mean much to me, the idea that I can have these things as well and not have to have them in front of people who are envious of me and not have to be envious of anybody because I can get it myself. I just want my child's vision to be so big for himself that he goes and he chases his dreams, and he doesn't have to live from a place of survival, but he can thrive. And so that's my big why for why I'm moving my business the way I am, while I'm doing whatever it takes by any means necessary. You know, like I said, going hard the whole night because I ain't going back to my old life. You know, that's my favorite quote, because I'm not going back to my old life, and I don't want my sons to even relate to it. My big why is just to make sure my sons have a life that they deserve, but that they choose for themselves, that poverty doesn't choose their life, or survival doesn't choose their life for them.
That's beautiful, man. That's really heartwarming. I can relate. I grew up poor, and you know, I saw my parents struggle, and I never ever want to put my family or my future kids in that type of position where we can't afford it and can't pay the rent, can't provide, have food. It's amazing. You could break that generational curse in this lifetime and then teach them your wealth secrets, you know, because they grow up obviously with inspiration and a good model to live by.
Absolutely. It's just about the optics, man. You know, limited vision and narrow vision from a very small space. It doesn't help them grow. And I can teach them how to, you know, wash dishes and how to cut the grass and how to live day by day. But if I haven't given them the tools to succeed in their own right and the way that they see fit, by doing the things that they love and living a life they love, if I haven't taught them how to chase happiness through living a life they love and doing the things that they love every day, then I've failed as a father. So for me, it's just about giving them the tools, but also having the infrastructure and having the capabilities to support them as they figure out what type of men they want to be, you know, who they want to be, what they want to be when they grow up. I had to go to work. I was working at 16. I was working at 13. I was working at 9. I cut grass in the projects at 9 years old. I've always had to work. I want my sons to know their dreams, don't know their fantasies, be in touch with what they want for themselves. So that's my goal for them, is to just give them that opportunity.
So I want to end off with a final question. I call this the 3 business secrets. So Kev, you are a success. You have a huge global audience. You're changing millions of lives because you have millions of people watching your video. Yeah. You've developed now a solid 6-figure online income. And obviously you're going to scale higher and go farther. And really, like I said, just for everyone that's listening, if you could share 3 secrets of business success, whether someone's starting out or maybe they want to get to your level and they're stuck, what would you define maybe your 4 years journey? What are the 3 secrets you would share with someone to get on your level?
Like we've been talking about this the whole time, fell forward. It means for me, just don't quit. Make quitting an option. Never quit. Decide that you're not going to quit before you start, because there will be ups and downs. You're so gung-ho when you first start something and you realize, oh, this shit is harder than I thought. And then there's this muting effect where you're like, oh, that enthusiasm just like, right. And at that point, it decides whether or not you have it, if you can do it. And most people quit there. But if you don't quit there, you just keep going, you'll eventually get to a place where you're like, wait a minute, I can do this. It is hard, but I figured it out, right? So first of all, just don't quit. Be very diligent, right? That which you do most is that which you do best, right? So if you start a lot of new projects and never finish them, you're great at eclectic experiences, but you'll never really master anything, right? If you quit a lot, you become a great quitter. It becomes a thing you do, right? That which you do most is that which you do best. So practice, or, you know, produce. Do that thing which you're trying to become good at. You know, get your 10,000 hours in. In the book, The Art of Mastery, or whatever it's called, Robert Greene's book about mastery. He talks about the 10,000 hours, right? Get your 10,000 hours in. So don't quit and do it a lot. Be diligent. And I guess the third one, don't quit, fail forward, be diligent. This is a really good one I've always known. Just I've released myself from the pressure of the result. while I have an insane motivation to be this or that, or to be great, sometimes that pressure, the pressure of potential, the weight of potential can kill you. So for me, you do the thing, be very diligent, don't quit, but stop setting expectations. Just do the work and leave the rest of it to God, the universe, but just do your part. Don't worry so much about when it happens, if it happens. Set your SMART goals, right? Your specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-based goals, but release yourself from the pressure of the result, right? Whether that's, I'm going to make six figure this year, I'm going to make, that's got to be the goal. That has to be the focus, but you can't be so attached to it that you quit if that doesn't happen, that you're discouraged and you stop moving forward if that doesn't happen. So sometimes that failure effect becomes so permanent that people don't have anything left once they fail. And I don't want to gas out. So I always kind of release myself of the pressure. Like, okay, what's the worst case scenario? I don't do it. What happens then? I'm fine. I'll just try again, right? And you have to be willing to fail and just try again. And so I don't know how to summarize that in a really smart, condensed way. But
you nailed it. You nailed it. And because that's literally, like, I was getting chills because that's something I've done recently and it changed the game for me. I went away from creating outcome-based goals, and now I have mm-hmm. system-based goals, okay?
System-based, that's what you, so that's it.
I'm not saying to myself, okay, I got to make $100,000 in 30 days. Like, yeah, that'd be great, but if I show up doing a video every single day, doing a live twice a week, writing a really powerful piece of content, publishing it three times a week, I'm just mm-hmm. focused on the systems I need to do.
Yes.
I go to sleep at 10 o'clock every night. I try to get up at 6 a.m., all I focus on is the daily actions, the mm-hmm. routines and the systems.
Yep.
And I don't care if I don't hit that 100K in 30 mm-hmm. days, but if I show up doing what I need to do, that's mm-hmm. the most important thing. If I don't do it, then that's my fault.
Yeah. That what you do most is that what you do best. So be diligent, get your 10,000 hours, to master anything. And, like I said, whatever happens at that point, but you've given it everything you've got. So no regrets.
Yes. Yes. No, thank you. And appreciate all the amazing value, Kev, just the generosity. I want to acknowledge you for just giving so much, you know, I mean, I'm not the only one, everyone else that's listening, they can attest to the value you added and just speak from the heart, you know, because a lot of times people, they'll come on here and then they'll share a thing or two, but you went super deep. You just opened the curtain and just went into everything. I'm inspired, you know, because I'm like, I want to go run around the block a few times right now because you shared not just the tactical stuff, but extremely philosophical stuff that even my mindset shifted on my own business.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm glad I was able to inspire some people today. That's always good too.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Online Super Coach Podcast. If you like this show, share it with your friends and subscribe on iTunes. For show notes and for free training on how you can attract, convert, and deliver like a million-dollar online coach, visit OnlineSuperCoach.com.